Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, and let me begin reading again. We're talking and studying about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but it's what? Righteousness, it's peace, it's joy. In the Holy Ghost. How many are in the Holy Ghost? If you're in the Holy Ghost, you ought to have righteousness, you ought to have peace, and you ought to have joy. Let's read in verse 8, Matthew chapter 6. He said, "Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask Him." But we're told to ask, aren't we? It says, "In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Drop down to verse 19, please. It says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, or where the thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" There'll be no revelation to you. Now look at verse 24, the first part of it says, "No man can serve two masters." No man can serve two masters. Talking about the world system, talking about God's system. Verse 30. "Now if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles," or the unbelievers, "seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Let me read that verse out of the Amplified. It says, "But seek, aim, and strive after first of all His kingdom and His righteousness, His way of doing and being right." His way of doing and being right. It says, "And then all these things taken together will be given to you besides." Now, as I said, we have been talking about the kingdom of God for several weeks now. And I'm in this area that I'm spending a little more time on. It's called angels, or the subject of angels. We know that the kingdom of God is a real kingdom. The kingdom of God is within us. It's a spiritual reality. And for you and I to get the benefits of the kingdom, kingdom living and walking in the kingdom, we have to move or make that transition from the flesh or from being carnal into the spirit. The Bible teaches us that they are given to us. The kingdom realities are given to us in mysteries. Mystery could be defined this way, as a religious truth that can only be known by revelation. Something that exists in the Word of God, but it takes the Father, it takes the Holy Spirit revealing these things we call truths, so that we will know exactly what they mean, understand them, and apply them to our life. How many know that the Bible is full of mysteries? But they're not hidden from us, they're hidden for us, so that they can be revealed to us. Are you with me? So we started saying last time that a lot of Christians have retreated from the world in being the witness that God has called them to be. It's like we get saved, we get born again, and we start coming to church, but we forget about what God has called us to do. God has given us a mandate to be ambassadors in this life. In other words, the saying is that we're in the world, but we're not of the world. God wants you to be in the world what He's called you to be. You may be a lawyer, you may be a doctor, you may be a dentist, you may be a teacher, so on and so forth, but you need to be a light in that area that you're called to be. We live by the kingdom realities. We live by the principles of the kingdom of God in those places where we work. We're supposed to be used by God, by the Holy Spirit, to bring light into those darknesses. We're supposed to be people that represent and show how good our God is. We're supposed to be able to show them and prove to them that our God is better than their God. That our God is bigger than their God. Are you with me? That our God is a good God. How many know that? And sometimes we kind of get lost and just get in the four corners of the church. We go out there during the week, do our thing, and then we come back in here and do our thing, and we try to separate things. But how many know there needs to be one thing, and that thing is our focus is on God and to be used of God in the world to be a light. Amen? So the kingdom of God is put on the inside of us so that that kingdom can be displayed or manifested to a world that does not know and understand who God is. And so we have been looking at this aspect of going from a transition of the flesh to the spirit, because if we're going to walk in kingdom realities, if we're going to walk in the realm of the spirit, how many know we're going to have to make a transition from being a carnal Christian to a spiritual one? You don't just get born again, you know, the first time you come to church and all of a sudden you're a mature Christian. In fact, sometimes people stay in church a long time and still don't become mature. You've got to choose to grow. You've got to choose to let your heart receive the things of God. Now, go with me quickly over to Galatians chapter 4. And let's look at these things again. We've been talking about heirs. Do I have any heirs in here? Amen. All right. Now, look what it says here in Galatians chapter 4. In other words, as long as we're immature. Now, here's what it says in Galatians 4:1. Have you found it? Okay, it says, now I say that an heir, now do I have any heirs? Raise your hand again. Do I have any heirs? Okay. Now I say that an heir, as long as he is a child, or as long as he what? He acts childish. I mean, no, children do childish things. You can get by with them while you're a baby. You can get by with them while you're a child. But sooner or later, you got to grow up. Amen. He says, even though, now look at this, as long as he is a child, does not differ from a slave or a servant, though he is master of all. It's very difficult. Let me say it this way. It will be very difficult for you to receive of the kingdom of God as long as you remain a babe, as long as you remain and act childish. Now, let's go back to Romans chapter 4. Just stay with me here. Let's go to Romans chapter 8 first. Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. If you got it, say amen. All right, now look at this. For as many as are what? Led. What does led mean? It means that we take off together. If you're going to follow somebody, you got to be led by somebody. God expects you and I to be led by the Spirit. Now, how many know there's many influences out there? And everybody's going to be led by something. Everybody's going to be led by an influence or a thought. Just keep that in mind as we get into this morning. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption. In other words, you have been adopted into the family of God by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Abba, you could say another word for Abba means daddy or something that is very personal. In other words, a personal, very personal relationship that you and I should have with God the Father. Are you listening? It says in verse 16, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. That's why there can be no condemnation to them that are in Christ, because it's our spirit that is communing with God, because God is a spirit. God does not communicate with flesh. Spirit communicates with spirit. God does not talk to our flesh. Okay. That's a great revelation here. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And look at verse 17. And if children, then heirs, say heirs, heirs of God, and what? Joint heirs with Christ. Now, go over to the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, way back over there towards the end of the Bible, right before the book of James, Hebrews chapter 2. Well, actually, let's read Hebrews chapter 2. Let's read Hebrews chapter 1. Let me back up because I don't know if all of you have caught all this. I don't want to leave anything out in this introduction here. Hebrews chapter 1, and let's read verses 13 and 14. It says, "But to which of the angels has he ever said, 'Set at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool'? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation?" Look at verse 1 and 2. It says, "God at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets. In these last days has spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom He made the worlds." Did you see that? It says that He has made Him heir of all things. Let me just read it out of another translation. The Williams translation says, "Who He has appointed lawful owner of everything." So Jesus was appointed or made heir over everything in this earth. And the Bible says that we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean? That means that everything that He owns, we own. Everything that He has, we have. The wind socks off of this thing, so you got to be on the trigger there. Listen to me. It doesn't say that we're 50-50. Whatever He has, we have. We could relate that to, you know, if you're married, your relationship with your spouse, you know, whatever I own, my wife also owns. Whatever I have, she has. Whatever she has, she has. No. How many know it is not a 50-50 deal, but it is a 100%. In other words, whatever is mine is also hers, and whatever is hers is also mine. Whatever name is on the bank account is both of ours. Whatever name is on the title is both of ours. It's not his or hers. Are you listening to me? So it's joint. We're seated together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. And the Bible says that we are joint heirs. And whatever He has, we have because we are one. So whatever He owns, I own too. Somebody say, me too. Yeah, okay. So whatever He has righteousness, He has peace, He has joy. He's been given a name above every name, and so on and so forth. Now look at verse 14 again. It says, "Are they not all ministering spirits?" Now, ministering spirits are angels. Now, I've taught you this, but let me just share this with you again. These are angels sent into the earth by the kingdom of God to give you and I, or to bring us, the inheritance that God has promised to us. Now, we have learned already that everything has been given to Jesus. And because we are joint heirs with Jesus, then we have everything that Jesus has. Amen? So these angels, you could say, are ministering spirits to bring to you and I the blessing of Abraham because we are Abraham's seed. Galatians 3:29 says, "If we are Christ, then are we Abraham's seed." That's what it says. "And heirs according to the promise." So angels are given to prosper us, to protect us, to promote us, and to preserve us. Now we covered this, but I want you to see that, because that's what they're given to us for: to prosper us, to promote, to preserve, and to protect us. You can just write this down over in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, around verse 30. It says that the angels are reapers. And if we neglect things in this life, then we will have things and find things that happen to us that God never intended to happen to us. Come on, somebody. Now, look at chapter 2. We're right here in the book of Hebrews, verse 1 and 2 again. It says, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through who? Angels, and that's what we're talking about here this morning. For if the word spoken through angels proves steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape? Now look at this. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Now this is good stuff. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? How shall we escape what the enemy wants to do to us? What the enemy will do to us? How will we escape if we neglect so great of salvation? Now, turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Follow me in this. This is good stuff. I know y'all are quiet. I'm going to give you a lot of things because every time we read a scripture, it's going to bring more revelation to you of what this kingdom reality and learning to have faith in God's system and let going of the world system. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. When you find it, say, I got it. Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and let's read verses 16, 17, and 18, I believe. Yes. Look what it says. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is what? But the inward man is being renewed day by day. Now, what's he saying? What's the outward man? The outward man is our flesh. The inward man is our spirit. What are we doing in here this morning? We're renewing our what? We're renewing our spirit. We're renewing our spirit because God communicates to us through our spirit. He doesn't communicate to us through our flesh. We can't worship God through our flesh. We worship God how? In spirit and in truth. You've got that principle. Because if we sow to the flesh of the flesh, we're going to reap what? We're going to reap destruction. So we're sowing to the spirit so we can reap of the spirit life. That's what he's talking about. Now look, he says, for our light affliction. Now notice he calls it light affliction, which is but for a moment is working for us a far more exceeding and external weight of glory. Eternal weight of glory, excuse me. It says, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things that are not seen, for the things that are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now, what's he telling us? We don't look at the things that we see. Now, we do look at them, but if our focus is only what we see, then our afflictions will be heavy and they will be long. But if we will focus on the things that we can't see, then our afflictions will be light and they will be short. In other words, we're all going to go through things in life. Can I hear an amen? Amen. So we can make the choice to live above those things by not looking at them. I didn't say not pay attention to them, but not let those things be our focus, because if they're our focus, the affliction from those things and the pain from those things will be heavy. But if we focus on the things that we can't see, then that affliction will become light and it will become short. In other words, our goal is to get out of things as quick as possible with the least amount of pain, with the least amount of suffering. If you're here, say amen. We realize that everything in this earth, it doesn't belong to the devil. It belongs to you and I. It belongs to us because we're heirs of God. We're joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 4. I got so many for you, I want to make sure I get them in. Romans chapter 4, verse 13. Romans chapter 4 says this, verse 13. For the promise that he would be an heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Who do you think that is? In fact, let me read it out of the Living Bible, okay? Verse 13. It says, it is clear then God's promise to give the whole earth to Abraham and his descendants was not because Abraham obeyed God's law, but because he trusted God to keep his promises. Did you hear that? It was because he trusted God to keep his promises. Remember I said a while ago in the offering that Abraham was before the law. Now look at verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Let me read that to you out of the Living Bible. It says this, so God's blessings are given to us by faith as a free gift. We are certain to get them whether or not we follow Jewish customs or we have faith like Abraham's, for Abraham is the father of us all when it comes to these matters of faith. So God expects us to have faith. We know that without faith, what? We can't even please God. But when we come to God, we must believe that he is. Now let's go over to the Old Testament. Go to the book of Deuteronomy. Amen. Are you following me? Okay, we're going somewhere. Just giving you a lot of things here to chew on. Once you get a revelation of this, I want you to be able to let go of your dependency upon the world and start putting your faith and trust in God, that God is able to deliver you and promote you in spite of any circumstance. Amen. We've got to get a revelation of the angels that have been given to us as ministering spirits in our life, even though we can't see them. Remember, most of us don't think about or use the angels because we don't see them. But they're there. So I'm trying to get this reality, this kingdom reality into you, that they're given to you because you're going to face circumstances and you're going to face overwhelming odds in this life that you're going to need divine help. But I got good news for you. You've got divine help at your disposal. God's not going to come down here and do this for you, but he sent angels to work for you. Amen. All right, now let's read Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1. It says, when the Lord your God brings you into the land which you go to possess, and has cast out many nations before you, the Hittites, the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and all those ites. It says, now look at this, seven nations greater and mightier than you. Did you see that? He says, he's telling them that you're going to face some people in life. You're going to face some people going into your promised land that are greater and mightier than you. Now look at this. This is neat. And the Lord your God deliver, and when the Lord your God delivers them over to you, you shall conquer them and utterly destroy them. Now look at this. He's telling them that you're going to go into a place where the people are greater and mightier than you. But when you come into this place, you are going to have them at your disposal and you're going to utterly destroy them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It says, you shall make no covenant with them, nor show mercy to them. Verse 3, nor shall you make marriages with them. Now these are warnings here. You shall not give your daughter to their son, nor take their daughter for your son, for they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods, so on and so forth. But I wanted you to see here, I'm saying to you that God expects us to believe him for help. He says, I'm going to take you into a place where the people are greater than you are, and they're mightier than you are, they're stronger than you are, they have more education than you are, but I'm going to deliver them into your hand, and you are utterly going to destroy them all. God is just trying to show us here that we will have to come to a place where we're going to face things in life, if we're going to walk in faith and we're going to put our trust in God, that God is there to help us, and we have been given these angels who will cause us and who will bring us into these places that look like they're impossible, but things that are impossible with man are possible with God. So these angels out there are working on our behalf. Now follow me here. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 9. Come on. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. This is good. Okay, I'm taking you step by step. Deuteronomy chapter 9. Verse 1 says, "Hear, O Israel, you are to cross over this Jordan today and go in and dispose nations greater and mightier than yourself." Here it is again. He's telling them, look, you're going to get into this thing and you're going to see people that are greater and that are mightier than you. And he says, great cities, look at this, fortified up to heaven. Now he's telling us, not only are you going to take the people, but you're going to gain back some real estate. Why? Because we're heirs of God. The whole earth has been given to Jesus, and we are heirs with Jesus, joint heirs. Are you listening? Don't keep those things in mind. Okay? Now, he says, a people great and tall, and the descendants of Achan, whom you know and whom you heard, it said, who can stand before you, the descendants of Anak? Now, how many know who Anak was, or what Anak is peculiar to? That's the tribe where big old Goliath came out of. Are you following what I'm saying? So, in other words, God is coming back again and saying, I have made a provision for you to protect you, to promote you, and to preserve you. And there will be things that you will face that will be bigger and mightier than you. You will face giants in the land, but don't fear, because he tells them, he says, if you do it my way, if you do it my way, you will subdue them and you will conquer them and you will possess the land. Amen. Seek first, that's what he said, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He said, and all these things shall be added unto you. So we have to do it God's way. Now let me show you an example of this in Numbers. Just turn back in Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. Now, this is, again, stories that you know, but I want you to see these in the perspective of using your angels. Amen? I'm in Numbers chapter 13, and let's begin reading in verse 27. Then they told him and said, now this is when the spies were sent out. Remember, there was 12 spies, and 10 of them came back with what kind of report? A bad report, an evil report, the Bible says. They told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. Now, what did God say to them? He said, I'm going to take you into this place, and the people are going to be what? Greater and mightier than you are. He said, they're going to have high fortified walls and fences. They're going to be giants in the land. But he said, I will deliver them into your hand and you will utterly destroy all of them. Isn't that what God said? But what did the spies say? Look at this. It says, nevertheless, the people who dwell there in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. Now, who's Anak? Who's a descendant of Anak? Tell me again. Goliath, the giants, okay? So they saw some tall people there. They saw some people greater and mightier than they were. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. And Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up how? Let us go up what? At once and what? Let us go up once and take possession, for we are well able. Say well able. We are well able to overcome it. It sounds like somebody had been listening to God. But the other 10 said, we are not able. And the other 10 gave what is called a bad report. You can read it right there in the next verse. Now go back to Exodus chapter 23. Exodus chapter 23. Genesis and then Exodus, okay? Chapter 23 and verse 20. Are y'all with me? Okay, don't check out. Exodus chapter 23 and verse 20. Now, look what he said. Behold, I send a what? Okay. Behold, I send an angel before you to keep you in the way and to bring you into the place which I have prepared. Now, what was God preparing for the children of Israel? He was preparing what? Canaan. He was preparing the promised land. He said, I'm going to have you go into this land so that you can possess it. Beware of him. So it's telling us something here that angels communicate with us, that angels talk to us. It says, beware of him and obey what? Obey his voice. Do not provoke him. Do not provoke your angel. In other words, watch your mouth, remember? Watch what you say, because your confession has a lot to do with your possession. What you say has a lot to do with what comes to pass in your life. He says, do not provoke, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. But if you indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy to your enemy and an adversary to your adversary. He said, verse 23, for my angel will go before you and bring you into the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I will what? He said, I will cut them off. Are you with me, church? So we've got to come to this understanding that the 10 spies, they came back and they gave a negative report. Why is it called an evil report? Why is it called a bad report? Because they said something that was not in line with or against what God had already said. Anytime we say something that goes against God's plan, the Bible calls that, God calls that a bad report. So we've got to watch our mouth. In fact, I want you to look at Ecclesiastes. Let me just turn there right quickly. I want you to see this scripture in Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Just hurry quickly. I wasn't planning on giving that one, but I better read it to you. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Because how many know we have to watch what we say because our angels are listening? Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Just hold your place there. We'll come back. Look what it says in Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verse 6. It says, do not let your what? You there? Come on. Do not let your what? Okay. Do not let your mouth cause your flesh to sin, nor say before the angel of God that it was an error. Now look, we've got to watch our mouth because our angels are listening. We can't say, whoops, I didn't mean to say that. Because the angels hearken at the voice of our words that we speak in faith. And the words that we don't speak in faith, the angels are there and they're standing by waiting on you to get back in faith so you can dispatch your angels so they can bring you into that place of deliverance. Bring you into that place of protection. Bring you into that place of provision. Are you with me? All right. Joshua chapter 1. Come on, somebody. I'm saying it doesn't matter what anybody says. It doesn't matter what the experts say. It doesn't matter what the doctors say. We are supposed to say what God says. Part of growing up, everybody say growing up, part of growing up, part of becoming spiritually mature is saying what God says, not what somebody else says, not what the circumstances say, because the angels get us involved right in the middle of the circumstances. But we are not supposed to look at the things which we can see. We're supposed to look at the things which we can't see. Because if we look at the things that we can't see, then our affliction is going to be light. Come on, somebody. And the time that we stay in those things is going to be short. But if we focus and look at the things that are there, that are really there, then the affliction is going to be heavy, and that thing that comes upon us is going to last a long time. So we've got to get to the place where we know that the angels are working for us, but they are hearkening to the words that we speak. Now, here's another example for you in the book of Joshua, chapter 1. Okay? All I know is what God said, that we're going to face in life things that are greater and mightier than we are. We're going to face circumstances that are greater and mightier than we are. Can somebody give a witness to that? We're going to face situations that are greater and mightier than ours. But we have angels that are working for us to deliver us out of them. Praise God. We can subdue them. We can overtake them. Amen. Because our dependency is in God, and God has given us ministering angels to work on our behalf. Now, here's what he said. You know the story here. Moses has died. Now the thing falls on Joshua to take over. It says, Moses, my servant, Joshua chapter 1, verse 2 says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, and you and all this people to the land which I'm giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, it says, I have given you as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river of Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be what? It shall be your territory. So God is saying, I'm giving you all this land as far as you can see. Now, you know you can't see as far as you can see. But see, what you can see is what you can have. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not what? Leave you or forsake you. He tells them to be strong and to be of good courage. We cannot have fear, because when we have fear, we stop our angels working for us. He's telling us that you and I do not have to fear anything. We don't have to fear anybody. Look, we can look them right in the eye, and we can use our angels. We can dispatch our angels by speaking the voice of faith. Are you listening to me? The devil will try to intimidate us, but we're not intimidated by the devil. We're not intimidated by the devil. We're not looking at this thing through the natural eye. We're looking at it through the eye of faith. And so we don't have to flinch. We don't have to cow down. So we have to remember that even though these things are the invisible, but listen to this, we have to remember that if you can see the invisible, you can do the impossible. Are y'all following what I'm saying? This is good stuff. These are realities that you need to get a hold of and start living by these things and grow up into them. Now, let's read over in 2 Kings. Let's go to 2 Kings, and I'm trying to show you how to put your faith in God's ability and your dependency upon God and using your angels to deliver you and to supply you with angelic hope, that every need that you have will be met. Amen. The angels know exactly where it is. You know why? Because they know from God. Hello, somebody. And so we have to learn how to use these things that are at our disposal, because the circumstances will bring us into impossible situations. That's the way life is, folks. We will come into impossible situations. You can't go around and say what it looks like. That's very tempting, isn't it? To go around and develop the attitude, well, it looks like this. And if we're not careful, we'll start saying with our mouth what it looks like. But we're not supposed to say what it looks like. We're supposed to say what God said. I said, if we're growing up, if we're mature in our faith, then we're going to start saying what God said instead of what it looks like. It doesn't matter, remember, what the circumstances say. It doesn't matter what people say. Now, I'm saying to you, now get this, because you can misunderstand me here. God wants to give you stuff that is bigger than what you can get yourself. Amen. Our attitude is that we want to go out and we want to get something that we can afford, instead of going out and getting what we want. Our attitude should be changed and say, Lord, what do you want me to have? Because whatever you want me to have, I can get. Because he wants us to get stuff. Now we're not using our faith. Now, just don't get me misunderstood here. We're not using our faith just to get things. We're using our faith so we can obey the voice of God. We are supposed to be displayers, if you will. We display that our God is a good God. Remember? That our God is bigger than their God. Our God is better than their God. We're supposed to provoke them to jealousy. And he said, all things belong to you. He said, you're going to come into places that are mightier and bigger than you. You're going to face people that have more education than you. You're going to face things that are walled and high. But he said, you are going to subdue them. I'm going to deliver them over in your hand, and I'm going to cut them off. Well, how's that going to happen? It's going to happen when we learn to use the angels. When we learn to use our ministering spirit. Do you believe the Bible? Do you believe the Word of God? Because when you preach stuff like this, it can sound extreme. But I'm just reading you what God said. I'm just telling you what the Word of God says that we can do. He said, we own all things in this earth, not the devil. But the devil wants to turn it around and make it appear like it's shortages and there's things that are running out and things that are going to dissipate because he's in control. I'm here to tell you that it's time for the church to rise up because God is in control. Amen. And we are influenced by God. We're not influenced by the system of the world, yet we allow so many times the system of the world to dictate how we talk and how we think. I'm telling you, you got to get to the place where you listen for God. And if God says you can have this, if God says you can have that, then you can have it. It doesn't matter what anybody else says. It doesn't matter what the experts say. God will make a way in the middle of a desert. Amen. God will cause water to flow out of the rock. Praise God. So we've got to come to the place where we understand it. Put something in your Bible right there, and just, well, we'll come right back. Y'all do believe your Bible, right? Psalms 105. Let me just read this. Oh, man, I'm just running out of time. Psalms 105. Hurry up. I want to get all this into you because some of you are looking at me real funny. But look at this. Psalms 105. Did you find it? All right, look at verse 43 and 44. It says, he brought out his people with joy. His chosen ones with what? With gladness. He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. It says he gave the lands of the Gentiles or the heathen, those Jebusites, those Gerbusites, and all those other sites. It says, and they inherited the labor of the what? Of the nations or the people. Do I have any joint heirs in here? Do I have some heirs in here? He said, you're going to inherit the labor of those people. It doesn't matter who built it. It doesn't matter whose name is on the title right now. It belongs to you. Come on, somebody. All you got to do is get in faith and release the angels. Did God say it to you? I had Marvin bring that church, that picture of that church in here because, you know, I was praying about the church. I was praying about the size of it. I was praying about the cost of it. And I told you last week it was starting to choke me, but God was taking me to these scriptures as I was walking and as I was praying. And he said, you get your finger and you point at that church and you say, we can do it. We can do it. Pick that picture up because, listen, when God puts in your heart to do something, it's not you doing it. It's God that's going to do it through you. You don't have to put the whole stand up there. Just hold it up. And I want everybody to point their finger at it and say, we can do it. Just hold the picture up. Get the stand out of the way. Just hold the picture up and say, we can do it. Come on, put your finger out there and say, we can do it. We can do it. We're releasing the word of faith. We're releasing our faith. Listen to me. Listen to me. What are we doing? What are we doing? What are we doing? We're putting the word into action. When we put the word into action, we're obeying the voice of God. When we're obeying the voice of God, then the angels are working.
You say, but Pastor, how's the money going to come in? I don't know. That's not my problem. The angels are at work. Come on, the angels are at work. The angels are prospering. The angels are blessing. But you know what? You can put it down. You need to do that in your life. Amen. Some of you are living below your privileges. Amen. Some of you are living, I'm talking about low, and you need to come up. All things belong to you. God puts in your heart, you see a house you want, point at it and say, we can do that. God puts in your heart, you want a car, you want a better car, point your finger and say, we can do that. Now, I don't know how you're going to do it. I'm not advocating you go get in debt and do something that, you know, you can't afford to do. I'm saying put the word to work. Put your angels to work. They hearken at the voice of God. Don't sit there and say, well, I wish I could have that, but it looks like I'll never. Quit talking like that. Put a watch over your mouth. Remember, don't provoke your angels, but get your angels working for you. Whew, hallelujah. Psalms 34:7 says, so we got to get back to where I was going, but read that one on the way back. Hurry up, hurry up. Psalms 34:7 says what? The angel of the Lord in what? Camps around those who fear him and what? Delivers him. Are you with me, church? So we said that our angels can't work if we're in fear. Fear paralyzes our angels, okay? Angels will not move off of fear. We're only supposed to fear the Lord. I said our only fear is the fear of God. Now go back over there where I told you. Where did I tell you? Where'd you put your thing? 2 Kings chapter, there it is. Yeah, 2 Kings chapter 6. Come on, hurry. The clock says zero. Come on, give me a couple more minutes here. Y'all took up my time there because you... That's why I was trying to just give you the scripture. Not 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 12. Now one of the servants said, now look at this. One of the servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha. Now what was happening was that the king was wanting to attack Israel, but every time he would get ready to attack, it's like the Israelis already knew the plans. It's like, how do they know these things? How do they know what's going on? And somebody said, oh, there's a prophet in the land. And he knows what you even say in your bedroom. Now, I wonder who told him. See, the angels will talk to you. We just saw that. They talked to Moses, didn't they? You do understand that you have not ever had an original thought. No, you didn't get that. Nobody's had an original thought. It came from somewhere. Mm-hmm. Y'all will get that about midnight. He said, there's a prophet who is in Israel that tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. Man, them angels are really at work, aren't they? So he said, go and see where he is that I may send and get him. And it was told him, saying, surely he is in Dothan. Therefore, he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. Now remember what those 10 spies said? They said, oh, there's giants in the land. There's great cities in the land, and they outnumber us, and they're bigger than we are. Now, was that a true statement? No, in the natural. Was that a true statement? Yeah, it was true in the natural, but it wasn't true in the spiritual. Okay? I said, that's why we don't focus on the things that we can see, but on the things that we can't see. Same principle here. See, therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army, it says in verse 15, and he went, and the servant of the man of God rose early and went out, and there was an army surrounding the city and horses and chariots, and his servant said to him, alas, master, what shall we do? In other words, the servant of God to Elisha was freaking out.
He was looking up there and he said, "My Lord, my God, we are outnumbered. We are surrounded by the enemy. What are we going to do? What are we going to do, church, when it looks like we're facing something greater and mightier than we are? What are we going to do when the odds in the natural look like it's in their favor? We're going to trust God." Now, the next thing he did, look, the next thing he did was he made a faith statement. Everybody say a faith statement. See, they were outnumbered. There was no escape. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? How will we escape if we neglect using our ministering angels from what the enemy wants to use to destroy us? There is none, but we're going to use them. Here's what happened. Look what happened. So he answered, "Do not fear." Remember I told you, you got to make sure you rebuke fear. Because what you see in the natural will try to bring fear on you. And when you have fear operating, faith stops. When you have fear operating, the angels stop. It paralyzes your angels. So you got to do whatever it takes to rebuke fear that's coming on your life. What people say, what the doctors say, what the circumstances, you got to rebuke that fear in the name of Jesus. He said, "Do not fear. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Everybody say, faith confession. Now, Elisha, he looked out there and saw the same thing that Gehazi saw. He saw the same thing. And I'm sure Gehazi looking at Elisha and said, "What did you eat last night?" "Look, Elisha, look, we are outnumbered." And Elisha prayed the next verse and said, "Lord, open his eyes." Now, how many know his eyes in the natural are already open? But we're talking about seeing what you can't see. Because when you can see what you can't see, then the impossible can happen. Because all things are possible with God. Are you listening to me? He said, "Open his eyes." And then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw what? He saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. What was that? That was the angels. And you read the next verse, and Elisha prayed that they would be blinded. How many know they were blinded? And they went away defeated. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter what the odds are. There are, listen, one angel, the Bible says, can kill 185,000 men. God has, the book of Hebrews says that the angels are innumerable. In other words, you can't count them with IBM's best computer. There's more than you can imagine. And he'll get them all, if necessary, to show up to deliver you or to promote you or to prosper you or to protect you if it takes all of them. And then over there, quickly, in the book of Daniel. Oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I'm just trying to show you here and get this in your understanding. We know that the three Hebrew children, they were delivered from the fiery furnace because of their confession, right? They said, "Our God is able to deliver us." Now, in the natural, it didn't look like it. But what happened? God delivered them. We know that Daniel, and I've told you all these. I hadn't been able to go to all the scriptures with you. But listen, you go back and you read, Daniel was in that lion's den, but the Bible says that an angel shut his mouth. I said an angel will show up to deliver you. Now let me read this right quick because we're about out of time. We are out of time. It says in the third year, I want you to see this quickly. In the third year of Cyrus, who? Not Billy Ray, but Cyrus, the king of Persia. Now look at this. The king of Persia. Everybody say the king of Persia. Cyrus was what? Cyrus was what? The king of Persia. Help me out. The king of Persia. And Daniel went to receive a message from the Lord. He wanted to know what was going to take place in the end time so he could tell the people. And we know that he went and he prayed and he went on that 21-day fast. And the angel of the Lord, say the angel, they appeared to Daniel to tell him these mysteries. Mysteries are what? Those religious truths. Those truths in the Word of God that reveal by the Holy Spirit God's plan, God's way, God's idea. You can read that in verse 12. He said, do not fear. Remember, we got to get out of fear. He said, Daniel, from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were what? They heard. So the words were heard as soon as Daniel spoke them. He said, I have come because of your words. What got the angels dispatched? Whose words? Daniel's words. The moment Daniel began to call out and get his words in faith in line with God, the angels begin to move. And who showed up? Now look at verse 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia. Did you see that? Now who's the king of Persia? Cyrus. Everybody say Cyrus. Follow me. Verse 1 says that Cyrus was the king of Persia. But who was holding up the dispatch? Who was holding up the angel from delivering the message to Daniel? It says, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia. Who was the prince of the kingdom of Persia? How about demonic spirits? Come on, somebody. Get this. Do you understand that over every head, there is a spirit? I'm talking about a head or a leader that is used in the kingdom of the devil. It's not the person. It's the spirit that influences or controls the person. The prince here of the kingdom of Persia, he said, withstood me 21 days. It was the spirit. That's why the devil has demonic spirits that control and influence leaders. And influence those that are in high office and in high position. It's not the man, it's the spirit behind the man. Because remember, the man does not have original thoughts. His thoughts have to come from some influence. His thoughts have to come from an inspiration. And so if you're being controlled by an evil spirit, if you're being controlled by a demonic spirit, then the devil has you as a puppet on a string. And all he has to do is pull your string and you do your thing. Come on, are you with me, church? See, what you have to understand that there are demonic spirits behind these people that do the devil's work. That's why the devil wants people in office that believe like he believes. Now, they believe like he believes because they're influenced by him. That's why he wants people in office or elected president or some high official who believes in same-sex marriage because he believes in same-sex marriage. Are you with me? He wants somebody in office that will kill babies. Why? Because he kills babies. Are you listening to this? See, we get mad and don't understand why, you know, people like Hitler, Adolf Hitler, do you understand? There was a spirit behind him that influenced him to kill the Jews. Why? Because the devil hates Jews. And so he was just acting as a puppet, you see. Osama bin Laden, what does he want to do? He wants to kill freedom. He wants to kill democracy. He wants to kill the Jews. Why? Because that's what the devil does. These people think that they are right, but they're being influenced by a demonic spirit. Just like there's a demonic spirit, how many know there's an angelic spirit of God? There's a spirit of God to influence us. And God raised up a nation called the United States of America that stopped Hitler in his tracks. Had he not raised up and had not this nation obeyed God, because it's a nation, one nation under who? God used this nation to enact judgment upon them. And you know what? He's going to continue to do it too. I'm telling you that the church is in its finest hour. But we got to learn, look, the who we're fighting out there, it's not flesh and blood. He wants to get your professors, your teachers. He wants them to be influenced by demonic spirits. So you can be influenced that way and learn those things. So you have to learn how to be bad. You have to learn how to think evil. Luke chapter, y'all are y'all with me today? Luke chapter 12. Come on, somebody. Matthew, Mark, Luke chapter 12. We've all been deceived sometimes, amen? But remember, we're Christians now. Our brains are washed. Our minds are renewed. Amen? We don't think like that anymore. Luke chapter 12, verse 8 and 9. It says, "Also I say to you, whoever confesses me before men," are you there? "Him the Son of Man will also confess before the angels of God." Remember, I got a little blunt last week to some people because they didn't want to. They just said, "We don't believe in Jesus. We don't want to be saved." Listen, here it is in the Bible. He said, if you, look what he says, "Whoever confesses me before men, him, the Son of Man, will also confess before the angels of God. But he who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God." See, the devil has his puppets. The devil has his influencers. They're demonic spirits. You read the Bible, it's full of them. There was a young lady in Acts chapter 16. She was a diviner. She was somebody that did fortune telling. And the Bible says that she made much money for her masters. See, that's what the devil does. He has people to make money for his kingdom so he can do his work. Are you with me? But Paul recognized that spirit in that young girl. And he said, "In the name of Jesus, I command you to come out." And you know what? He spoiled her from making more money for the devil. Amen. See, the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. All these things, we're going to inherit the labor of the heathen that work for it. Amen. It's time we put that into action. Praise God. Just heap it up on them because the blessings belong to us. Amen. We're going to possess the land. We're going to reap, amen, the benefits of being heirs, joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you here this morning? Come on, close your Bibles with me. Come on, close your Bibles and just think. Lift your hands up right now and just say, "Thank God. Thank God. Thank God." It's going to take me one more week to finish this. But listen, 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 listen. The devil uses people and he influences people. But you know what? His kingdom is going to come down. There has been nothing that the devil can raise up that the kingdom of God and his people cannot pull down.